2 weeks ago.
Oh, damn.
And it's real dry, so I'm not coughing.
Yeah, well, let's just go at it. We don't care. Everything's very informal here. Mark farts into the mic and stuff. Yeah.
I'm going to interview my dick today, actually, if this gets boring.
I'll have Brian to do it.
And say hello.
This is Mark Bell's PowerCast.
What's your dick's voice?
It's very high pitched. It kind of sounds like Mike Tyson.
Bilingual?
Yeah.
Alongside Silent Mike and Jim McDee. Put your phone down, Mark. That's kind of rude already.
I'm texting Mike.
Oh.
There's still a chance to get out of this, buddy.
Save yourself.
Oh, my God.
I'm scared.
So, first question is, you know, we listen to a lot of rap in here, but we don't have any African-American guidance, so to speak. And
wait a minute. Do you guys not have any blacks?
We have like three.
Officially, the stance
officially
from
one
from Super Training Headquarters is they're not allowed, but there's a few in here.
Okay.
I know. They snuck through the cracks.
Okay.
We got Bill.
Yeah, we have Bill. And we got
Wade. I don't know if you guys want to claim him. He's like PhD in chemical engineering. He's way beyond.
We need him.
Okay, yeah. Then you can have him. Yeah. He's way beyond.
Okay.
But he's not quite down with the culture, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay. I don't see him dunking a basketball.
Yeah, yeah,
soon.
Nothing. Nothing. AC/DC and like a Pokemon or something.
But what do you think of the line "ass so fat, let's make a baby"? Because I don't know what to think of it.
I mean, you know what? It's an extremely lustful. I say all the time, like, I'll get her pregnant.
you just get right to it.
Like, I want to get her pregnant.
Gotcha.
So it's just a faster.
But you don't mean it.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. It's not literal.
But it's like, right.
Like, L.A. face with an Oakland booty. I understood that one right away.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
To all of us.
Yeah, I understood that one pretty good. But
ass so fat. Who said that?
I think, is it 2 Chainz?
2 Chainz.
I think it is. Yeah, I think it's part of a collaboration, but
maybe.
I can't remember who actually.
He comes out with some ridiculous words.
Yeah, I love 2 Chainz.
Yeah,
it could have been Drake.
Maybe.
Ass so fat, let's make a baby.
I think it's Chainz.
What about
what was his name before 2 Chainz?
Titty Boy.
Yeah, Titty Boy. That's the best.
Titty Boy.
I like that.
That's the best. Name. Yeah, is that Player Circle and all that?
Yeah.
Yeah, Titty
what about,
Boy. Yeah, so good.
What's that new song we were listening to? It says ass like Houston, Texas, but face like Claire Huxtable.
Yeah, that's Drake.
Is Houston, Texas big? I've never been there.
Yeah, it's fucking.
Well, and Texas is the fattest state, right?
Yeah, Texas now.
Who
know,
said that one? That was
I think that's Drake.
When I started going to Texas in 2013 with Better Bodies, the headquarters are there. Texas will humble you because they are fucking big.
Oh, really?
It'd be like guys that look like, you know, IFBB pro bodybuilders, 40 years old, that are 21.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm like,
yeah.
When did you start
something else in the water.
Gear, like,
yeah.
12? Like, it's crazy out there. They're either super buff or super fat.
Yeah, well, they have really like great like football. Yeah, like their high school football is the best in the nation.
Football.
Just big-ass kids.
Football, bodybuilding, and fatness.
Yeah, food.
And fatness.
Competitive. No, they have competitive barbecue
competitions. Oh, yeah. That's amazing. Let's go to that.
It's so amazing.
We should do a podcast live at a fucking barbecue. That would be amazing.
Our barbecue is not great. Our boy Wiz Khalifa is the one who said.
Yeah, ass so fat. God damn it.
It's in Weedon Boys.
It is Wiz.
Weedon Boys. I like that song. I never know the lyrics, though. I just know the chorus.
Yeah.
You just go along. You just bob your head and everybody thinks you know.
Look at his ex, though.
God, is that his actual ex? Oh, yeah. I didn't know they broke up. What is she doing?
I'll get her pregnant.
Yeah. So fat. Let's
not literally, but I get her pregnant.
What does she do?
Claire Huxtable is hot, so it's like.
I don't even know. I think that's before my time.
See, Claire Huxtable, all right, if they said that, then they're trying to say, like, a wifey type material.
Yeah. Okay.
Looks sophisticated,
she's
but has a big old bam and ass.
Right.
What is that? It's like a 90s sitcom or something?
Yeah.
The Cosbys, bro.
Oh, yeah, I'm too young.
Oh,
I know
God.
Of the Cosbys, but I don't think I watched them.
I know. I've seen a lot of it.
Isn't it early 90s?
Yeah.
I'm scared. I don't know. I know it's when I was a child.
Yeah. I think I was probably like
We recently lost Mikey to the black community. He went into a Roscoe's.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So
he's
good.
He's converted.
Now, that was the first Roscoe's ever.
There's a place. Roscoe's is good. But whenever somebody do something, and somebody do it after them, they do it better.
Yeah.
Try to improve
There's
it.
There's a place a guy I know.
Second generation.
In Arizona, he has one called Lolo's Chicken and Waffles.
Good.
Mm. I mean, the chicken wings, like Roscoe's has these little, it doesn't look good, but it tastes good.
Yeah.
Lolo's looks amazing. The chicken wings are like,
you know what I mean? Like, yeah, like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, what's up, bro?
All the steroids.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All the steroids. It's like a wing and a peck.
Nice.
And they give you Kool-Aid out of a mason jar. It's like country down home.
Nice. Yeah, that's amazing.
Ice and Kool-Aid.
Yeah, yeah. That's
are you there every day? You can't help it, right?
All the time.
Yeah, I'd say Roscoe's chicken was good, not amazing, but the waffle was money.
Yeah,
bro, yeah.
I'll tell you, Lolo's.
What is it? If there's like a cinnamon in it or
it's
something
like, it's like a cake. It's not as much
think,
of a waffle.
I think it's more like just the contrast of chicken
and
waffle.
Yeah, so good.
Yeah. It's a combination of fat, salt, and sugar.
Yeah.
That makes it
yeah, you throw
amazing.
Syrup on the whole thing.
Makes it superb. That.
Right.
Yeah, big old like ice cream scooper of butters on top of it.
Oh, God.
So good.
Yeah. Like, see, ice cream and waffles. Yeah.
Like, I love butter.
Yeah.
Salt, sugar, all of that. You know, fuck it.
Yeah, it's so good. What's your eating like in your off season? A little more casual?
I don't really look at, my last competition, I didn't prep.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I pulled water and that was it.
Yeah.
Just took like two poops and you were good.
I talked shit about it.
Yeah,
I placed high and they didn't like it.
Yeah.
I'm like, because when I first started competing, like my very first show, I felt like death. Like people,
you just lost too much weight, kind of thing.
Yeah, like you're not healthy. You're dehydrated. Right. You're malnourished.
Right.
And people really think they look at the fitness industry as a healthy thing. That's what I did until I got in it. I'm like, this is not healthy at all.
Right.
Yeah. It's the opposite.
It's the opposite. This is the worst. You know. So my face was sunk in. It took me like 4 days to look normal.
Had that Mark Bell look to you. Emaciated.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Somebody better give him a sandwich.
I didn't like that. I cramped up.
Yeah.
One stage at night.
Did you drop a lot of body weight or more just
Yeah, I don't know how much, but I was like everything was loose. I was so insecure because my shirts were big and pants were, everything was just baggy on me. The pictures looked amazing, but I didn't feel good. Next show, the same thing. And then I start. Like, I never, like, eat really bad. I'll have, like, a whole pizza or something like that, but I train a lot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I feel like I burn it off. I always had a high metabolism. I always ate a lot when I was a kid. So, but I was always thin. I used to box, so it was impossible for me to hold weight and gain weight.
So in terms of, like, being fat and stuff, you've sort of always been ahead of the game.
Always.
Okay. Yeah.
And then you continue to exercise a lot on top of that, lift, and now your body is basically a machine that's just going to burn up calories. It's not going to...
Pretty much.
It might not matter as much as the next guy because you're always staying fairly lean.
But I never put that out to, like, the public, like, people who look up to me.
Right.
Because we all have different metabolisms. Yeah. We all have different hormonal outputs. And I don't want guys thinking...
Yeah, Mike has a lot of fucking estrogen shooting out of him right now. Look at that.
So I don't want guys thinking it's cool to eat a whole pizza.
Right.
It's not.
Right.
It's not healthy, honestly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, you know...
You need to get some calories in and...
Yeah, so, you know, and I like my junk food here and there, but I don't ever go too crazy, but, you know.
Do anything different to try to get bigger here and there?
Last year, I had to take a break from lifting altogether for about a month. That was terrible, and I picked up some bad eating habits during that time. I didn't look bad, but I was real puffy. I was
took a month off. He got a mean text from Mark Bell and just went into a deep depression.
Right. Yeah, what's your body weight like now? And like what did you kind of blow up to?
I've been trying to come down. I've been walking around 235-ish, 238. So right now I'm probably, Sunday I weighed myself and I was 219.
Oh, dang, yeah.
But
just the expo and stuff.
I wasn't eating. So right now I'm probably about 230. So I would like to be 220 because the heavier I get, I'm breathing. It's harder to breathe.
Yeah.
I gotta take breaks during sex. Like, hold on. Hold on a second. Catch my breath.
Yeah.
But
hang on, baby. I'll be right back.
You know, I'm a single father, and my son plays basketball, and I take him to the park to do sprints, and I'm like, damn.
Yeah.
Like it takes everything in me to not let him beat me.
How old is he?
13. He'll be 14. He's fast as shit.
Yeah.
You getting on him to get a job yet or anything? What's he doing? What's he up to?
Nah, he's good with sports, and I'm just trying to keep him real busy.
Yeah.
I'm getting him into music right now, and
he's on the poster with you at the.
No, oh, that's my 9-year-old.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, the 9-year-old.
This guy's got his own business going. You know what
the 9-year-old. Yeah, I think I've seen maybe his Instagram.
His Instagram. He calls himself Mr. Junior Alpha.
Yeah, that's great.
And he likes. He has a. All right,
should we just talk to him instead?
Yeah,
pretty much. He's going to be my
get
boss.
Him on the, get him on the show.
Like he has his savings is way better than mine.
Yeah,
you know.
But he's got like a retirement plan. Right. He's got everything all sorted out.
401k.
Right. He has great. His advisors and
that's great. Know.
Offshore accounts.
Right. I try to talk to his advisors. They're like, no, he's on priority. So last year, I was telling Mark, last year I did a vlog, open letter to my son, and I was explaining in it. I don't, you know, I went to college, but that didn't get me a job.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I was saying to my son and to a lot of the younger generation, like, yo, I'm not saying don't go to school, but I'm saying, well, specifically to my son, I want you to be successful business owner, start your first business by high school. If you want to go to college, just go to learn what you want to learn, but you won't need it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have the financials to take care of you, but I don't want to have to.
Right.
You know what I mean? So he was like, why can't I start now?
That's awesome.
I'm like, perfect. So, yeah. You know,
well, that's a good message to anybody. Like, regardless of whether you're trying to pursue a sport or go to school,
mm-hmm.
the rest of your life doesn't necessarily have to be on pause.
Right.
You can be working on other things, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So,
you just got two sons?
Two sons and a daughter.
Yeah. How old's your daughter?
8.
Cool, man. Mm-hmm. Cool.
I really think the thing about college is just opening up your mind to all kinds of possibilities and hearing other points of view and things like that. I think that you gain the most from that.
Right.
It changes how you think. I don't know it's about what you learn in college, right. Especially not now, you know.
Yeah. I feel like one thing that fascinated me, I like to learn. One thing that fascinated me about college was having a universe of information at my disposal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I ended up taking a bunch of classes that didn't amount to anything.
Yeah.
Kind of taking stuff that I was interested in, and nobody was over my shoulder telling me, you know, so it was just fascinating. Like, my world, like, there was a professor I had named Dr. Carter. If you look him up, they hate him. You know what I mean? Mm. But he was such a progressive-minded, intelligent guy. And I thought I was pretty smart, but I wasn't. So my thing, I was like, I want to debate this guy and show him he's wrong. He just
destroyed
me, and I became his servant. Like, whatever you say, seriously, I ended up taking every class he taught, and this guy was just amazing, and he really opened my eyes to a lot of things in life. So,
were you attracted to him?
A little bit.
Yeah. Is he muscular, Mike?
No, but I don't like big guys.
Oh, okay.
Little ones.
You know,
he was like, supple and bendy.
Supple and soft.
God damn.
Busty. Natural busty. Those words, natural and busty.
Yeah.
Fit.
And supple, too.
Yeah. That
supple.
Could end up in the next rap song.
Yeah.
Nah, but and also networking, you know what I mean? It's good with college, but fuck college, really, honestly.
Right. I think, you know, when my dad's story, anyway, when he went to college, is that like his dad like dropped him off at school and said, see you when you get a degree type thing.
Right.
And I think, you know, whether that was true or not, finding your own way and making your own path is a really key ingredient to go into college. It seems like whereas nowadays that doesn't seem to be part of the recipe. Like mm-hmm. nowadays it seems like the parents will pay and the parents will kind of bail the kid out of every little situation that happens
mm-hmm.
if the kid does go away to college. So maybe the impact of simply going away from your hometown and you know, being proactive and, you know, finding a place to stay, paying your rent, you know, kind of all the stuff that Mr. Robot Pants does, you know, not a lot of other kids are actually probably doing that.
Right.
They're probably getting bailed out at every little turn.
Yeah.
Those are the things I think that would be the most important things that you would learn, or some of the most important things you'd learn, rather than the stuff that you learn from a textbook, maybe. You know?
I agree. And, you know, like, I was fortunate to have a really good father. He, you know, I used to hate the shit he had me doing when I was younger. But when I moved out, I was, like, saying stuff that he said to me, to my friends.
You're like, God damn it.
I was like everybody's dad. You know what I mean? So he, you know, he taught me how to be a man. You know, I was I have not been employed since the age of 16. I've always had a job.
Yeah.
Grinding it out.
You know, I was boxing on a national level at 13. I started at 12. I was traveling by myself.
Dang.
In different training camps. You know what I mean? Yep. So I seen so much life at an early age.
Right.
I've lived all over the world. I've been all over the world. And so I'm not afraid of anything. You can drive me anywhere. And I always say, like, you know, when it's uncomfortable, you don't know where you're at or what's going on, you feel the walls and figure it out.
Nah, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah, and I've become good at it. You know what I mean? So, you know, I'm one of those guys that's kind of adventurous because I've been pushed out there at
right.
an early age.
You feel you learn more that way.
Yeah, you do.
You see enough places, you start to recognize patterns when you come into a place that you don't know. Mm-hmm. Like everything works kind of the same way, mm-hmm. you know?
Right.
Hell, even streets sort of run the same way right, in right. most cities, you know? Yeah. You figure it out pretty quickly. Which way do I need to go to get to the center of town?
You know? Right.
Right, right.
How'd you transfer from like boxing, and when did you stop into more like fitness and bodybuilding?
Well, I was... I would stop boxing. See, I started so young that I kind of rebelled. So I would stop and then start back. So my last time fighting, I was taking it serious. I was with Team Tyson. Like, Mike Tyson's a family friend. And I was really good. But I was just distracted by, like, girls and life and trying to make money. And,
yeah.
You know, so I moved. I'm gonna tell you, boxing is the hardest training I've ever did. You know what I mean? You train 3 times a day. I would run early. midday I do my strength training, and in the evening I do my skill work. And it's a full-time job, and it's really hard. So especially the older you get, the stakes are higher because you can get hurt. Right. When you're a kid, it doesn't hurt, but right. the older you get, yeah. you know what I mean? My first fight, somebody died at that tournament.
Dang.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah,
it's serious.
Yeah. yeah.
Concussions, guys age faster because they take so much damage to the brain. But what I loved about that sport and what I still love about it is that I feel like it's the ultimate test of will, man to man. You know, whereas with MMA, and I'm a huge fan of martial arts in general, but boxing, you can't take 3 seconds off,
right.
not even two. You got to be on point mentally the entire time. And the first thing I learned when I was 12 years old with boxing, my coach said, you got to be in shape. That's a given.
Right.
But this game is 80% mental, 20% physical. And it is. You know what I mean? There's times when you can be fighting somebody better than you, but they don't have the mental, the intelligence, or that mental will to stick it out, you'll win. You know what I'm saying? So that was the biggest lesson I got from it. But to answer your question, I stopped because I thought I had some better opportunity at the time. And, you know, the older you get, you can't be taking breaks because you got to stay on your conditioning and everything, because every time I stopped, it was harder to go back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I would get a little heavier, harder to keep up with the guys. So
what weight class were you in?
Middleweight. So, and I was on a small scale. I never
like
tried to go down.
160 or something?
It was 160.
Yeah.
165.
Okay.
And I was at the bottom, 158. But I looked bigger than the guys I fought because I lifted.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. A little leaner.
So, yeah. I was more muscular.
Yeah.
It looked like I was heavier than them, but they was heavier than me.
Did you have any professional fights?
Never turned pro.
Okay. You did amateur.
Yeah, but you know what? The amateur, anybody tell you, the amateur boxing is far more competitive.
Yeah.
Because you have, you know, it's a lot of politics.
Well, pro doesn't really necessarily mean a whole
anybody
lot.
Anybody can
means
take pro.
Got, yeah, you got
it's,
paid.
You apply for a license and you're
right.
a pro.
Yeah.
You know, but on the amateur circuit, you know, when you, if you go to the Olympics or even Pan Am Games, but most likely the Olympics or any world tournament and you win gold, you have a good chance of out the gate getting big numbers.
Right.
Oscar De La Hoya. He had
yeah,
gold.
That's true, huh?
His first fight was $1 million. You know what I'm saying?
Shit.
So everybody's fighting for that. And a lot of guys don't turn pro because they may have missed, you know, got a silver or bronze or didn't place. And they want to wait 4 years to do it again because they're securing that.
Yeah.
Because it might take 4 years to get up to a $100,000 fight. So they might as well try again.
Yeah.
It's very, very competitive. There's better guys in the amateurs than the pros. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Yeah.
Because some guys don't have their lives together to have a pro career. And,
right. Yeah, they got to make money or whatever.
Yeah, some guys fall into drugs, gangs, whatever it is. I know some of the best fighters never made it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
When you learned how to box with Team Tyson, did you square off with people more like Tyson did, or did you do more traditional style boxing? Because
I
know his style changed and stuff right. as he got older.
See, Mike Tyson was an anomaly. You know, typically you have a boxer and a brawler.
Right.
The boxer's a more slick fighter, like a Floyd Mayweather or Muhammad right. Ali. And the brawler would be
Foreman.
Foreman.
Yeah. Hollyfield.
Foreman go in there and bang him.
Right. Mike Tyson was the same height as me. He's 5'11", and he was a small heavyweight.
Yeah, he was big,
So he had little man speed.
Right.
Yeah. and he hit harder than anybody.
Yeah.
So that was the most dangerous combination ever. And a brawler takes punches, and Mike didn't. He had good defense.
He would never get hit.
Right.
So, he was young. He never got hit.
But he wasn't necessarily a boxer. He didn't have that classic boxing style. Okay. He was the most ferocious. Like, in his prime, had he not went to prison, he probably would have went down as one of the best fighters in the
world.
I
always say that he's one of the best athletes, period.
Yeah.
You know, like,
nope.
People talk about Bo Jackson or Ali or these different, you know, they put people in different categories. Sometimes a boxer is not really put up on that pedestal like a Michael Jordan might be or something, but nobody ever moved like Mike Tyson. I mean, he's like, he was like Barry Sanders, the way he could fucking move inside of a boxing ring.
Jumping
It's just fucking insane. I love the speed he had. I mean, like, insane.
I have no problem with CrossFit, but they call jump rope double under. I'm like, we've been doing that.
Yeah, yeah.
I do that squatting. Like,
Like down in like Russian squat position, one foot,
You ever see Mike Tyson do it, you'd be blown away.
Yeah.
If you watch a real boxer getting busy on the ropes,
yeah,
you're like,
nuts.
Whoa. You know what I mean? So, and he was a 200-plus guy doing that.
Yeah, what was it, like 212, 215 or something?
215-ish. Yeah. Later in his career, 220, 225. Yeah. So, but no, he was a phenomenal athlete, man. Like, boxing is very hard. Like, the conditioning. Just imagine 12 rounds, 12 three-minute rounds. One round is hard.
Yeah.
3 minutes of nonstop fighting is hard.
Right, yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's brutal.
Yeah.
And you start to think, am I going to get to the end of this?
Yeah, and then you got to keep your composure because an angry guy loses.
Right, because you're just burning.
And a desperate guy loses. I remember a fight I had, I wasn't in shape. I was a lot better than this guy. I was getting tired trying to knock him out, and he won. He was beneath me. Like, in my mind, I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with me? But you can't go in there. Every time I knock somebody out, I'm like, that one? That punch?
Right.
You know what I mean? Because it's all technique, how your body, where your body's positioned.
Oh, yeah. If someone's tired, you can just blow them over. They'll fucking fall.
Yeah,
you know?
Fatigue will
you can
kill
push
you.
Them, and they'll just they'll fall.
Fatigue will kill you.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes they're looking to for it to end, too.
Yeah, they're looking for a place to land. Yeah,
a reason to quit.
So you got a really successful YouTube channel. How many followers do you have approximately?
I'm around 300,000.
Damn, yo. Yeah, we had Omar Issaf on here recently, and he kind of explained some of the success he's had. And so it seems like you're doing something a little similar. You have a YouTube channel that's successful, and you have a supplement line, but you also have clothing behind it. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, how you're mixing the all this stuff together to kind of help increase sales and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Give away some of your secrets?
Secrets.
No, you don't have to give away your secrets.
That's cool. Basically, I started with the supplements. Well, YouTube, actually. But the supplements are something that I wanted to do. I wanted to create a pre-workout. I actually wanted to create, like, a really powerful nootropic supplement.
Yeah, sorry, you're doing some reading on the way up here.
Yeah.
That's
We're
cool,
done.
Man.
We got the formula.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
nice,
it's coming.
Man.
It's coming. So, excuse me.
Something that kind of messes with the brain a little bit.
Yeah, you know,
turns
something
your brain
that
on.
Actually works.
Yep. Right.
Because when it comes to you have medicine and you have supplements.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're not going to really feel nothing from a supplement as far as enhancing, you know, frontal lobe activity, firing synapses faster, cognition.
Right. Whereas if you take like a Vicodin, you're going to feel that motherfucker.
Right, or Adderall. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we right here.
Yeah, somewhere in the middle.
What we got, you know what I mean? So, and a lot of it is naturopathic, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's really healthy. It's really
You're talking about straight cocaine.
Yeah.
I love it. I love
Everyone's
it.
Pre-workout.
Yeah. It's natural.
That's fucking perfect, man. I'll take three.
Take three of those. Give me a heroin. One just one.
Yeah.
So, excuse me. My supplement company is called I'm So Alpha. I did not come up with the name. When I would post videos and certain pictures and stuff, people would hashtag that is So Alpha, So Alpha, So Alpha. So I like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? After my formula was done for the pre-workout. So Alpha, somebody registered that. So I just used I'm So Alpha. Okay. So when I started doing the clothing, I wanted to keep it in that family.
Right.
So I call that Alpha Academy. I just like how it sounds.
Right.
It sounds fucking sick.
Yeah.
And also it's like, when I say Alpha, like, you know, some of my shirts say Alpha as fuck or whatever. That's me. It is what it is. You know what I mean? Some people may take it as arrogant or cocky, and I don't. I take it as confident, and I'm not going to be apologetic for being confident. You know what I mean? I'm not afraid of hard work. You know, I have a lot of achievements mm-hmm. under my belt, and I'm still striving for more. So, had I
personally think it's wrong. just to be honest with you,
hey, opinions are like that.
Well, you're talking about yourself. You're not just right. You're not dissing anybody else.
Not at all. You know? Not at all. I don't knock anybody. I don't care. Even like when it comes to fitness, everybody think their way is the way.
Right.
Right.
I know people that compete that look amazing that do bullshit. What I would consider bullshit, but they yeah. look great. So I was like, what can I say?
Right. Yeah.
Zumba works.
Right. Right.
I'm not mad at exercise. Whatever you do, just do something. Yeah. Be active. You know
that's kind of
I mean?
How we feel too. Like everything works for somebody.
Right.
You know,
right.
not everybody's going to be able to do exactly the same thing and get mm-hmm. exactly the same results.
Well, also too, you know, the proof is in the sales. I've seen a lot of those alpha as fuck things. Mm-hmm. So people are identifying with it. So who gives, you know, right. who really cares?
It's I'm trying to give people like the sayings on like the shirts. This one is don't be a pussy, but you know,
that one's for Mike.
I have a strong mind, strong body, be strong, be wise. You know, alpha as fuck. I have a lot of, it's like empowering messages.
Yeah. They're all positive messages.
Yeah. I used to personal train people for a long time and I'm like, I'm reminding you that you're strong. You're the shit. Like if anybody was ever a trainer, you know, and really took it serious, you are like a life coach to them.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it was more than me just saying, all right, 10 reps. And, yeah, you know, yeah. So it was really me encouraging people. I had to counsel people on the phone because they're going through shit. And you know what I mean? And even with my friends, I've always been that kind of leader, you know? So, and I've been through a lot of shit in life. So I have a lot of perspective on different things. And when people are crying and whining, I'm like, no, yeah. Let me tell you something. You know what I mean? And I shoot straight. Any of my friends around me, they know I'm going to give it to them raw without a condom.
Yeah.
Damn, yo. So,
get them pregnant.
Condoms are for gays and French people. So, but nah, but anyway, that alpha lifestyle, live like a lion. That's my motto. Fuck it.
Yeah.
You know, life, I'm into science, right? And when you put things in perspective, we are specks on a speck in a dust of specks.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like our life... It's
not a Dr. Seuss thing.
It could be so. Dr. Seuss is deep as fuck.
Oh my God. I know. No, you're not kidding.
Yeah.
So.
There's only one, dude.
So, you know, the wrong solar flare can wipe us out.
Right.
Tomorrow. So it's like every day I'm living on 10. You know what I'm saying?
You know, I put up a post one time because I hate the fucking sun. It's always like melting me and making me sweat my fucking dick off. And so I put up a post one time. I'm like, God damn, I wish the fucking sun would just burn out. And it started this huge debate. And this shit went on, I don't know, a couple hundred comments, you know, right. back and forth.
Nice.
And then people started to discuss how long it would take,
right.
you know, if the sun went out, but it's X amount of light years away.
Right.
And so we wouldn't know for X amount of like seconds yeah. or days yeah. or yeah. it just went back and forth. It was fucking funny as hell.
I would love that.
I think it's 7 minutes, but I'm not really
Yeah, it was
sure.
seven. I think it was 7 minutes. Yeah.
It's some smart people, man. Like I went to see Neil deGrasse Tyson the other night. Love this guy. He's so like I'm as entertained listening to a person that intelligent articulate their thoughts so eloquently as I am watching Ronnie Coleman on stage at his best.
Wait.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or Floyd Mayweather or whomever, LeBron. It amazes me.
He's know? Really funny. He's very down to earth
yeah,
about
yeah.
all it too. You know?
That's what I like about him. As intelligent as he is, he knows his shit, so he says it to where you understand it. And when you know your stuff, because I'm not impressed with people with knowledge, memorizing information.
Right.
What can you do with it? Do you really know it?
Yeah.
You know, can you explain it to where a child can understand it? That's when you really understand it. So, and he does, and it's amazing. But I was intimidated. They were like to ask questions because I'm like,
yeah.
I don't want to ask something, and there's somebody in it like we learned that 30 years ago.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
third grade.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? So, but you know,
with that shirt, I think it would be a good idea in the background if there can actually be a pussy on there.
Right.
Yeah, you know I don't what I'm know saying? If that'll sell.
In the background?
Yeah. Well, I think you should leave the shirt to Mike.
No, but like a super close-up. You know what I mean?
So, what is a pussy?
Just like a super close-up of it, you know? And then you wouldn't be able to really tell exactly what it was.
Or just a cuttlefish.
Yeah, cuttlefish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're talking about a...
just an idea.
Female...
Yeah.
Yeah. I had to explain because when I first put the
but
shirt
being
out,
a pussy wouldn't necessarily be the worst thing in the world.
People, well, I don't
at least you'd be sought
as,
after.
I don't look at it as a vagina.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Vagina is not a
oh,
pussy.
Oh, okay.
Technically, because there's guys like, oh, it's disrespectful to women.
That's disrespectful.
Yeah. I'm like, that's a vagina.
That's the way you take it, bro.
A pussy is a settle limp. Down.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's a
wuss.
You know, right. So.
So you started messing around with a pre-workout, and then you just started to design other stuff around it?
Yeah, I honestly didn't expect to make money off of it.
Money-hungry son of a bitch.
I started making it for me.
You money-hungry son of a bitch. That's,
I used to make it.
That's what you're in it for.
I used to put it in my tea.
You're in it for the money.
There was no filler, so it was disgusting.
Yeah, it was good. To flavor it.
It was disgusting, but it made me feel great.
It worked. Okay.
Yeah, it worked. But then I got with, you know, a company, and my first month I turned profits, and I got the entrepreneurial bug.
Yeah.
Right.
And just couldn't stop.
Yeah, never looked back.
Yeah, never looked back. Never will.
Just working on your stats now.
Yeah. You still do some training, yeah? You got a couple of celebrities you work with here and there?
Yeah. I'll train regular people if the scheduling works out and if they want
to
pay.
Would you be able to do anything with this guy? Silent Mike?
This dude is more advanced than me. He can train me.
I'm ready to go. Ready to go pro.
Look at that schnoz, though. What could we do about that thing?
The tan maybe will help.
See, I think we've been doing, we do a lot of like skull crushers, tricep work.
The schnoz presses.
And now we call it schnoz presses because he's been bouncing the weight off there. He's been cheating.
Yeah. Jeez. Overload. Yeah,
that's how he's building up those triceps, though.
One day.
Not Jack, too shabby,
Jack,
right?
Jack and tan, baby.
Yeah, that's trying.
That's right.
So who have you been working with? You posted a couple pictures a couple months ago.
As far as celebrities, I did work with, what's his name? Basketball player.
James Harden for a while.
James Harden.
You guys had the same beard going on?
Yeah. Well, I didn't at the time. His is still better than mine.
Yeah, that's a crazy beard. He's killing it right now, man.
That's a solid beard.
Right? Yeah, it's nice.
Houston?
Yeah, Houston. He's killing it. I think he's first ballot or first team on the All-Star game this weekend.
I was supposed to work with Rick Ross before the CrossFit stuff.
Right, right. Ross Fit.
It kind of went into that because
Basically
the amount of time that he wanted, I couldn't commit to because I'm busy.
Yeah, you got businesses
so
to run.
I was like,
yeah, he made the dude that's training him like quit his life to train him.
I'm not. I have things going on.
You got kids.
Yeah, but I got a lot of business, and you know, right. I'm not struggling. You know what I mean?
Right.
So that didn't pan out because of scheduling, and then my rate was a little steep, I guess.
Yeah.
Right.
So, that's it. But I do a lot of people like. International that come in for a day, 2 days. They just want the experience. It's funny because I get guys that'll come in. It'd be the most jacked dudes who can't hang.
Yeah, they don't want to go after it.
You know, and I had one guy. So he wanted to do arms. I'm like, all right.
Everybody wants to do arms.
Yeah,
that's what it's all about.
He died halfway through the workout. And he's like, hey, can we go take a picture? I'm like, yeah. $700 to take a picture.
Yeah. Right. Cool. Yeah, just quit.
And then had the gall, the audacity to ask me how could he be down with I'm So Alpha. I was like, but you quit.
You want to be like a sponsored athlete or whatever.
I was like, you quit, though. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
You know? So I was like, what do you have to offer?
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is what I ask everybody.
Yeah. A lot of people don't think of sponsorships like that, but sponsorships are a business.
It's a business.
What can you do for each other, but what can you do for the company?
Exactly. Coffee's for closers.
Yeah.
Right. So I ask everybody that. You know, some people, they're very persistent, so I'll invite them down to the gym or we'll go sit down and eat. So what is your goal? What are you trying to do? And when they tell me, like, I've had people tell me, I just want to work expos and work the booths. And I'm like.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of superficial.
Yeah, I don't want that. You know what I mean? So, anyway, this guy, you know, I said, what do you have to offer? He was like, you know, I got a little Instagram. And he kind of just faded away.
Yeah.
I was like, all right.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, people expect a lot for not having shit going on. You know, they'll have 1,000 followers on Instagram. They have no YouTube. It's like, well, I don't really understand how can I benefit from this at all.
Exactly.
I mean, that's powerlifting for you. And pretty much every powerlifter, there's only 3 powerlifters probably that have any significant following. You know?
Right.
But yeah, it's amazing that people, they feel so entitled to stuff.
Right. I always, like, when it comes to powerlifting.
If you're going
to
hustle, then cool. But otherwise.
I reference you a lot. Like, because I deal with a lot of powerlifters, and I'm like, look at Mark Bell.
Right.
He's not boring. He's exciting. He has a lot of shit going on. He talks. You know what I mean? Because people think
I have
that
a mansion.
He has a mansion. But people
he said
think
he was messing around on camera, and he's like, oh, knowing Mark, he probably has some sort of mansion. Then he came over to the Slinger mansion.
Yeah, right. Yeah, checked it out.
It's beautiful.
Hop in the hot tub.
He's like, goddamn, you have a mansion.
Life goals. So, like, people think that they're so awesome that people just be interested in watching them train.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, it's the same in powerlifting and bodybuilding. Like, there's, you know, not to talk shit, but there's a lot of guys that don't have any charisma.
Right.
You know, you put a camera on them, there's a million people in this world that look good. Yeah. You got to look good, be able to speak a little bit, have a background, right, have something else.
But it's like with me, like in my mind, I get maybe I think too much, but I'm like, why would I think that I look cool enough for that to be it?
Yeah, right? Yeah. Like, yeah, it's not a zoo.
Yeah.
Yeah, you want to learn something, right. Or
so if y'all gonna watch me, I'm gonna give y'all some information or talk shit, make you laugh, whatever. So I just never understood, like, you what now. I used to watch training videos like Branch Warren and Johnny Jackson or Ronnie. That shit pumped me up because they get after it, right?
Yeah.
But if you look at any other, you know, training video, I'm just like,
right.
And they do the typical boring workout, and then they're walking around slow, and they narrate it at the end. Right here, I retracted my scapula, and I'm like,
yeah.
I always sit here like this, like, yeah. Bro, like, what are you doing? So. You know, and I know a lot of people looked at me crazy when I got started, but now they're all like hitting me up like, hey, so how do you, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, you know.
Talk a little bit about like the transition from, you know, you said you trained people for a little while. Mm-hmm. You pretty much don't train people now. I mean, you will here and there.
Right.
But you don't need to or don't have to make money. That's not your main source of income.
Right.
You got other sources now. So, like, but what was the start like? Was there a pretty good struggle, or did you save money kind of going into the supplement thing first, or what was kind of like the progression?
I was making good money as a trainer. I was a successful trainer, but I had no life because I was a slave to my clients.
Yeah.
I'm in the gym all
day. Yeah, you did say earlier that you've been working since you were 16 also.
Right. So I was – like in the gym, I would open the gym, and I leave damn near closing.
Damn.
But I was ranking in.
How long did you do that for?
A couple years.
A couple years. It's a long
and
time.
It was burning me out too.
Yeah.
It was making me hate my clients. And I know that's bad to say, but you know, you see person after person after person.
Yeah, it's rough. Well, it's, I think, like, me and Mark have
a little burn in there.
Well,
Jim?
Been there.
Yeah, I've got a little something. I don't know what it is.
Let's hold up for a second.
Okay.
Yeah. So just, you know, talk to us a little bit about, you know, you're training people, you know, day in and day out for a couple of years, you said. And then, you know, what was kind of the progression? You're like, oh, I just start my own supplement line. Or, you know, how did you kind of get, you know, get from that to the next level of working, of not working for anybody else and working for yourself?
Right. Well, I started out at Goals Long Beach and, you know.
The LBC.
Right. It was a dope gym, actually. But I ended up, you know, being the top guy over there, and I was bringing in more money. I brought in like 80% of the personal training revenue. Yet I could only make like $3,500 a month.
There's a limit.
It sucks.
Yeah, so, you're not going to be a millionaire working for other people, basically.
No, it's just poverty level income, you know? So what I did, I had a plan. I wrote everything out, you know, work for a year at a corporate gym, then go independent. That's exactly what I did. And my first month, made a good amount of money. And you know, I've had certain clients for like 3 years. I had people that didn't need me anymore, but they loved it, you know.
So you went from training people at Gold's Gym to training people for yourself?
Right.
Okay.
Independently. And at Metroflex. And, excuse me. And things were just going good. I was busy. You know, I had to start turning people away or giving people to other people. And then I was like, you know what? I need to free up some time. So I started grouping, doing semi-private training. And I found that worked better because it's not group training. It's not like a class.
Right. Two or three.
You know, two or three, four sometimes. I would stagger by half hours. So, you know, I always give more attention to people who needed it. Because I would have senior people who knew how to.
Yeah.
Like, I could tell them, boom, 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 make sure he's good. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, our gym is real spread out. So I got, you know, it's 10 squat racks. You know what I mean? So it's a lot. It's multiple of everything. So it always worked out. And I worked better like that. One-on-one was just.
Yeah. You turn into a therapist. Yeah. You just start talking.
What it is. And, you know, because people, they don't understand. Like, I couldn't maintain a relationship because I didn't have anything to give.
Yeah.
Every day, people are pulling for me every hour. Yeah. So, and then it would be hard for me to train. And I'm like. So I started working on a pre-workout just for me. It was, my idea was, like, I'll make something for me and people in the gym, you know. And if I did sell it, I'm going to sell it for a lot of money because I don't really care to sell it.
I see.
Know? So, but I got with some people to actually put it out and, you know, made it, you know, a competitive price. And, you know, it did well.
Was it hard to get it started? I mean, it was a lot of big, you know, startup cost or anything like that?
Just one product. I started
not a big deal. Thing,
yeah. So, you know, didn't get a lot of stuff.
You didn't need to borrow money or anything? Nah. Just went right to it.
Yeah. So, it did well. So, you know, kept selling. So, added on like omega-3s. Just something that was cheap to make and put out. And then,
yeah, something you believe in.
Something I believe in, exactly. And I try to do my line real progressive, you know. Like, I got pre-workouts, but I have, like, superfood products. I have a cleanse.
I gave my mom the superfood you sent her. She loved it.
I always take my superfoods, you know what I mean? So, is this because people are so over, especially in, like, bodybuilding and stuff like that. My macros, but what about your micros? Like,
right, yeah.
I was the guy who competed who still ate fruit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, because they don't eat fruit, you know, so it's like, you know, I want some longevity. You know, I don't even care to live 100 years, but I want to be comfortable and happy.
Feel good at 60.
Feel good, exactly. So, I came up with, and it, my superfoods, you know, I put it up against anybody's green product because it's way more nutrients in it. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, it's just like a dried fruit extract and stuff, yeah?
You smell it. You smell the, you know, mushrooms, like everything, you know? So, so I have some stuff that are really progressive in it. On my line, you know, I have an all-natural whey protein for those who are, you know, don't want the aspartame and, you know what I'm saying? So I have all of that stuff. And so I'm also starting a new company with a couple friends. We're going a step beyond. So I'm doing nootropic products and overall wellness. Like,
cool.
I'm doing stuff like really strong stuff for your immune system and like stuff that is not on typical lines, you know what I mean?
But it's stuff you're passionate about. You said you're into science, so you're probably all into researching it and all that
and
stuff, right?
It's fascinating to me that we can take this herb and enhance this or that.
Yeah, it's just not popular.
It's not popular, but it will be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I have no doubt about it.
Yeah, there's a bunch of weird shit that you can take to, like, lower your cortisol levels and estrogen levels like that.
Exactly.
I've taken some stuff before, and it actually, in getting, like, blood work, completely, like, wiped out my fucking estrogen to the point where it was, like, it was too low, and it was, like, messing with my cholesterol.
That's crazy. You know, I had a test done on my, it's called Muscle Genes.
Yeah, I think I've heard of that.
Yeah, and it's really interesting, and it tells you...
How big is your muscle genes?
How big is your dick? it tells you everything, like, what you are genetically predisposed to.
Yeah.
You know, where your hormonal output is around, approximately, if you're naturally high testosterone, low testosterone.
Yeah. If your body reacts to, like, carbs or fat better, stuff like that, right? Yeah, Kelly Starrett was telling us about that.
So I'm thinking, like, I'm going to find out. I'm a beast.
I got a Kelly Starrett story in a second.
And I found that I was very average, naturally. Yeah. But, you know, and I had high levels of cortisol. But they said, well, that's the reason why you can train the way you do, because you recover better, because you do have the high levels of cortisol.
Yeah. Your
stress. They're there for a reason,
Right, exactly. So, and it just makes sense, because I'm a hard gainer.
Yeah.
When I don't lift, I shrink. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, and then also it shows you, like, okay, I did have a high level of testosterone, but I had an average level of burning fat. But they said the reason that you know, over the years you put on enough muscle to where you're now burning fat at a higher rate. You know what I mean? You get to learn all these cool little things, but they're actually adding additions to the company, like more doctors to actually, like, streamline, like, certain, you know, supplements for people. It's a real cool company. You know, right now it's not something that's going to help you make or break you.
Right.
But it's just cool to know for if you have the disposable income to, you know, invest in it. But I can see it in the future being more, you know, because people are getting smarter and more progressive with their, you know, blood work and, you know, so I think it's a good thing.
You know, something I just heard today was about cholesterol. Mark was mentioning cholesterol. They are now going to drop the recommendation for eating low cholesterol in your regular diet. Yeah. Eggs are going to make a big comeback.
Because, people have talked about that for a while.
Yeah, they have talked about it.
Before the doctors say yes, everybody else says yes.
Right.
It's amazing what they say, you know, like with like oatmeal or something. Like they kind of associate, they put like the little heart, that little heart symbol on there.
Right.
And then you associate like that's good for your heart. So a bunch of old people buy oatmeal.
Marketing.
Yeah. I mean, it's fucking brilliant to sell more fucking oats, you know, but it is misleading in a lot of ways.
It's very gimmicky.
To me, I mean, put the heart on the yolk.
Yeah.
You know, the whites is the junk of the yolk is the
it's just where the, you know, all the good stuff is.
Exactly. The yolk is, I mean, the whites is protecting it.
Yeah. It's funny what a bodybuilders or even powerlifters have known for a while now. That's just comes to like the public, you know, like everything in the gyms always happens in the gym for about 5 years and then it gets studied and then it's then it's confirmed or whatever. But we all know it.
And I feel like so you have all of these people who try to hide behind their college degrees and say science this and science that and that's bro science. And I'm like, fuck that. Yeah, I'm a bro scientist. Yeah, yeah. I'm all about that.
Well, it seems like it exists for a reason to me, you know.
Okay, had bro science not existed and not been good, you know, Ronnie Coleman would be, you know.
Yeah.
So, or...
like walking around with a gallon of water. Like, it looks stupid, but it fucking works for people.
Yeah.
Who cares? You know what I mean? It looks retarded.
And,
but.
And nobody can deny people in the gym are direct, like, we are science.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
We are changing our genetic output, basically, by... Yeah. This is not normal. This muscular, this strong, you know what I mean? So we're seeing that evolution process, that forced adaptation on a daily basis.
Right.
Yeah, you know, and our training changes, our mindset changes. We learn, we change. And it's not necessarily always from a book.
I don't do books at all. Like when people write it, it's funny, the people in my gym, there's always their percentages and their numbers and their books. I've never seen them gain strength or look different. They look the same.
Yeah, we always say like
and they scoff at us.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But they look the same.
Yeah.
Their numbers are the same.
No program, but if you go hard as hell, we'll have better results than the best program in the world that you're pussyfooting around.
Exactly. So I'm not a powerlifter, but I am very interested in increasing my strength. I think in 2013 I started doing burnouts at the end of my squats, right? So I used to start out with just 225. For 20.
Just one set all out.
Yeah, the last set.
Yeah.
And then I started, got up to 315. And I always started go to a weight and build up so I can get to 20. I do 20 a good 5 times. Then I move up.
Yeah.
So got to 315, 20. I jumped small, 335, 20. Then I went to 365, 20. Now I'm at 405. Like, I don't have a book. This is my progression.
Yeah,
see the strength.
It's simple enough,
right? Right. It's simple enough. You know, and I did that with bench press. That was always my favorite lift growing up. And I have my own little method of increasing strength.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's what they would call bro science.
But the real truth is you're lifting heavy, working hard for a long period of time.
Right.
And then you see some kind of results.
Right. So a book. And I know people, like, I write for certain magazines. I write for my own website. I know people that write. I know people that ghostwrite. And most of these people are just coming up with stuff. This is not what they do. I write what I do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So just like any video, I have some over-the-top training on my videos. You'll never see me talk about something that I'm not doing.
Right, yeah.
And
that
you don't see a video uncut of me doing it. You know what I mean? I don't believe in that. There's a lot of guys that I used to look up to coming into the game with amazing claims of physical strength. And then one guy, I'm not going to say his name, he would always like tweet me like we were best friends. And I'm like, bro, let's train. Let's do a video.
Yeah.
That'd be crazy. We'll break internet. You know what I mean? Oh, yeah. Never happened. Always flake. So I started looking, trying to find these.
Yeah.
Nothing.
No clips or.
Nothing.
Yeah.
And if it was a clip, it would be like, you see something and edit, and you see this part.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
And me.
Can't quite find that 800-pound squat.
We were all into strength.
Yeah.
Yo, make sure you get all the weight. You see all the weight?
Yeah.
Somebody
recording
it? All right, boom. You know,
you
never want to, you want to get that. This day and age, everybody got a camera phone.
Right.
Yo, get that for me.
Yeah.
We're proud of our gains. You know what I mean? So, and this guy is over the top with the.
Well, we have to explain shit on our stuff all the time. We have to be like, no, those are kilo plates.
Right.
You know, there's 6 plates on there, but each one's 55 pounds.
Well, and the truth doesn't.
The bar is 55 pounds.
Right.
We're sitting there explaining ourselves.
None of our
why am I explaining myself to these fucking people? Why do I even care?
None of our shit's world record, but like, people will kill you if you say it's 600 pounds and it's 585.
Right.
Like, just chill, you know, like, it's just whatever. Yeah. Like, I'm just giving an example of how I train.
Like, all right, I messed up the math. It's 605 or 595.
The worst is weak videos, though, when people. Say, oh, those are fake plates, or they try to total it up based on thinking it's a 45-pound plate.
Well, in power,
like it can't be real. Well,
yeah, the 25
this
kilos.
Isn't meat. Like, how right. stupid would we be
yeah. right, right.
if we put out a video that's supposed to be a world record in right. a meat and right. it's fake? I mean, yeah.
now there are guys that do that.
Yeah, yeah, I know. How sad is that?
I've seen it.
But those are usually like, gym wow. lifts, though.
Yeah, and they should also yeah, know they, that they that would never videos, come from us.
But they,
you know what I mean?
They do their videos.
Right, yeah. right.
And I'm like,
I know.
And everybody thinks that these guys are the truth.
Yeah. Yeah, like, oh, I think man. It's a Bodybuilding Motivation or some huge Instagram, you know, with like mm-hmm. 2 million followers or something. They right. posted Eric Spotos, who has the best raw bench press right. of all time, is 722
right.
raw, just wrist wraps.
Right.
And the comments are just ridiculous. You're like, oh, my homeboy Rick did that. Like, right. oh, Rick okay. did that. Sure did, yeah, yeah. Buddy. Like, oh, that's funny. Sure I did 700 for a double. You know, like, oh, that's
like,
not raw. He's got wrist wraps on.
He's like this. Like, I'm not the strongest guy in the world. I'm pretty strong.
Yeah.
Any gentleman, especially a normal gym, like when you come to a gym like this, you're in here with strong guys. This is like where you get stronger. But regular gym, I'm never is never strong people
right.
in these gyms.
Right.
Not even close. You know
yeah, we
mean?
Talk so, about you go to a you know a regular commercial gym, and there'll be a couple guys that bench 315. There'll be a couple guys that might bench 405. And then mm-hmm. every once in a while, you'll find a mutant that gets up into 500. But it's so mm-hmm. rare.
I never see that.
Yeah.
I don't even see a 405 bencher.
Damn.
I don't see guys. I see guys squatting 225.
Yeah, the squats are worse than benches.
I see guys squatting 405, quarter reps.
Yeah,
maybe deadlifting I mean? Around three plates.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, it is what it is. I mean, but I tell people, man, like, you get real gains in legit gyms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Environment. So,
environment.
Yeah, what do we got going on tomorrow? Some benching?
Yeah, we got some benching going on tomorrow for sure. We're going to work on his form.
Yeah.
Try to fix him up a little bit.
I'm going to hit some heavy triples, and then I want to hit whatever accessories you do.
Okay.
We'll do like bodybuilding or whatever you do afterwards.
Right. Yeah,
I always, my progression is typically to say I always build up to a heavy
yeah.
1 to 3 rep max, and then it's a number of things I do coming down.
Yeah, yeah, I'm in so, on it.
Last week we shot a video, you know, 135 for 10, warm up, 225
yeah.
warm up, 315, 10, 405, like 5 or 6, 455 for 2, 425 for whatever I could get, 1 or 2.
Yeah.
405 for like 4. 315 for 8. Another set of 315. No, 315 for 10. 315 for like 8.
Yeah.
Then another 315.
Just all out.
Yeah, for like 7. 275. Came down real slow.
Yeah.
It totaled to like 15 or 16 sets of
wow.
heavy weight.
Damn, yeah.
You know what I
yeah,
mean?
Yeah, just pumped and burnt after.
Just, you know, but typically I'll, you know, after my real heavy, I'll burn out. But this time I just wanted to keep doing solid sets.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Good working sets. It came out to like 15, 16 sets.
Dang.
I was proud of that one.
Yeah, it's heavy bench, man. That's a lot.
We do a lot of stuff where you know, you're basically going to go as heavy as you can on the mm-hmm. first exercise, mm-hmm. whether it's sets of 5 or 3 right. or 2 or 1 or whatever. And then pretty much after that, we go to, you know, we'll go to pick up our volume and stuff like that mm-hmm. on the second movement.
Yeah.
So it's right. very similar to kind of what you mentioned. Not quite right. that amount of work.
Yeah, but typically yeah. we'll just switch something small. So like tomorrow I'm going to work up to like a heavy 3 mm-hmm. bench.
Right.
And then I'll go back down in close grip and maybe okay. do sets of 5 or 3 all the way back up.
Right, right.
And then we'll
right.
do dumbbells or triceps or shoulders right. or something. How do right. you do your split? Is it by like chest or
well, right
chest,
now,
shoulders?
Right now it would be like, well, typically Monday would be like back and triceps. I do antagonistic muscle groups,
yeah.
so I get that full pump. And then Tuesday would be chest. Wednesday would be legs. Thursday, shoulders. Fridays is a free day. I might do arms. I might do legs again. I might do back.
Yeah.
But I'll do one heavy day of legs, and then one day of like just machines.
Yeah, leg press
know,
or
just
whatever.
A lot of hypertrophy and stuff
yeah,
like
cool.
that. Yeah, so, and then one of the days in the weekend, I might do something else. Just
whatever
burn,
feels fresh
calories,
or something.
Yeah. But I'll switch it up. There's times I'll do chest twice that week or shoulders
yeah.
3 times that week.
How about a cardio or conditioning? I know I've seen videos of you pushing
the
prowler.
Hit the heavy
stuff.
Back, the prowler. I like to do exciting stuff. I can't do treadmill.
Yeah.
It's just too boring for me. I'll start and then just walk away. It's just ADHD or something.
Yeah, yeah, you can't handle it.
Yeah. And then I also saw a video with Cherian and James Harden. Mm-hmm. You had him on the prowler pushing some heavy
yeah,
weights around.
Yeah.
What do you do with some of these celebrities? We talk about it, either athletes or I guess celebrities come in and they don't really want to work hard
right.
or like they're expecting a special treatment.
Right.
But it looked like you were putting James Harden through
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I don't care.
Yeah.
If he gets mad and walk away, I don't give a shit.
Yeah, yeah.
That's you.
That's awesome.
You're right.
You're a pussy. Then. right. So
yeah, but he yeah. kept up pretty good.
No, he did it. You
yeah.
know? So, like, I've trained, like,
some other celebrities, but we signed a non-disclosure because they got a reality show coming out. That's what we trained for. And, you know, they, you know, different people, different.
Yeah.
People.
Yeah.
Everybody's different. It just amazes me, man, because I want to get pushed. If I can't do it, then I can't do it.
Yeah. Right.
I'm going to try. And some people don't.
Right.
I think that goes to the mentality you were talking about with boxing. Like, I've never boxed or ever been in a fight, really. Right. But you unrack a heavy weight in a squat. If you already think you can't do it, you're fucked.
Right,
you're going to eat shit, you know? Right. It's the same thing when, you know, you step in the ring, you got to think you're the goddamn lion.
Yeah, it's
or you're
going to
get
mental.
Eaten up.
It's all mental, right?
Yeah. So you step in the gym.
Even when
idea.
I squat or bench heavy, anything heavy, I'm like, get away from everybody. I get mad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I fucking just,
yeah.
You know, if I sit there, like Big Rob is strong as fuck, but he struggles with his deadlifts. He's down there forever.
Yeah, trying to figure out.
Rapping
out.
Let me think here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I be in the back. Mm-hmm. I get pumped. I just go and lift it up. Like, I don't got good technique, I'm sure, but I'll lift that shit.
Yeah, you know what I mean? At least you get after it.
Yeah, so, you know, with me, I need to be in that crazy. You know what I'm saying?
You need to just get after it.
Yeah.
So we were in Davis today, and we went to went for lunch, and we went to get some Thai food.
So good.
Yeah, it was really good.
Is it where you're taking me?
Yeah.
Yeah, supposed to get a little hut.
Yeah.
Something.
It's awesome.
It's cool.
What was that called? That beef?
Heavenly beef.
Heavenly. Oh my God.
It's called Heavenly Beef?
They have Heavenly
Beef.
And
it's probably amazing. It yeah, Heavenly.
Oh, it's so good. It's so fucking good.
Brown magic.
Brown magic. There we go.
That sounds a little weird.
Yeah, it does.
Sounds like about poop or something.
Put your brown magic away, Mike. We're not quite there yet. That's after the podcast. So I went downtown Davis to get sushi one time with our homie, Kelly Starrett. And Kelly gets in the car, and he's all excited. It's just he and I going to get a bunch of sushi.
Yeah, we
that
just
we're gonna,
podcasted. Me and Jim were at your house with Juliet.
That we're going to bring back to the house. And Kelly hops in the car. He's got this big smile on his face. Like, this is great. He's like, we're going to get noticed. He's like, where are we going? I said, we're going downtown Davis. He goes, oh, yeah. He's like, we'll totally get noticed. And so we're driving, you know, towards downtown Davis, and, like, a bunch of chicks walk by. He's, like, rolling down the window. He's kind of sticking his head out the window a little bit. He's
like,
anybody noticing us yet? You know,
like a golden retriever.
Yeah, it was so funny. I was like, no one's noticed. You know, so then we go and we pick up the food, and he's kind of standing there with his chest up and kind of looking around. I was like, nope, no one's noticed us. And then, you know, we get in the car and we get back to the house, and I was like, yep, I told you.
Yeah.
Nobody in this town really cares.
You took him to a Makuni sushi, yeah?
Yeah.
Did you tell him 3 months later that I got recognized with
No
Job Willie?
I should.
Yeah, you should kill him.
But then I was downtown with my boy here, Mike Rashid, and right away he got recognized.
That's great. Davis is like,
but then he was like, "What are you doing here?"
Yeah,
that guy almost died.
He see Mario. Oh my God!
Like, oh, he knew Mark
he
too.
Two for one. Yeah,
oh,
yeah, that guy almost died. That was funny.
Oh, yeah, we kind of have different crowds, you know, in terms of probably followers. But there's of course crossover.
I feel like certain people, man, like legit people follow legit people though.
Yeah, they'll figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's cool. How often you get recognized? You're part time in LA and part time in like Arizona.
All the time,
I bet.
And it's like every month is more and more and more.
That's awesome.
My first, like, you know, when I first got signed to Better Bodies, nothing, nobody. You know, I was at the Arnold's. There's nobody.
Yeah.
You know? And then the next event that I did, I put out that 200 rep set video, and people knew who I was. And I had no idea.
Right.
And, you know, we're at the Dallas Europa. I'm in a booth with like, you know. You know, big time bodybuilders, and I keep seeing this, like people holding their phones. I'm like, I'm not thinking nothing of it,
right?
And then people will come up and say, Mike Rashid, I'm like, oh yeah, oh man, talk to me, take a picture.
Yeah, it's cool.
Like, that's crazy. Another one, and it was like crazy.
They're walking past the famous bodybuilders to talk to you.
Yeah,
to
and I was feeling bad, like hey, you know, that's all. So and so. And
how long ago was that? Because this weekend we were all at the LA Fit Expo, and you were probably just getting killed, sold out of everything.
Yeah,
pictures every quarter.
That was 2013.
Yeah,
yeah.
So come up fast.
Dallas Europe was May of 2013. So you know, every expo is a little crazier.
Yeah.
I'm not. It's not like CT or Dana Lynn Bailey.
Dude.
You know, there's...
You're good friends with both, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Dana Lynn's line was nuts, man. I heard it was hours long.
Yeah.
People love
Dana. Yeah, people going crazy.
She's a fucking pleasure to be around.
Yeah,
you know
yeah.
I mean, her and her husband.
Yeah,
and,
Rob's super cool.
Yeah, man. And she fucking gets after it.
Yeah.
Like, she benched like 230 or something.
She goes into that.
Sick.
She goes there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I love that. Like,
she threw on the gangster wraps, benched 100-pound dumbells. There's guys that super training that can't do
that.
Yeah, what is she, 120, 130 pounds?
Yeah, she's small.
Yeah, she's tiny.
But she's dense.
She
trains right. You know
it looks
I mean?
Different in videos, but once you see her in person, I mean, she's what, 5'3"? Like,
she's
tiny.
Tiny.
Yeah.
She's tiny. we trained our shoulders together last after this last Olympia, man. And you know, I do either standing overhead barbell or dumbbells,
right?
Whichever I start with, the next one is next.
Right, I got
a lot
you.
Of presses.
Yeah.
So we started with shoulder, you know, behind the head shoulder press, standing strict. And she might not have went as heavy before. I'm like, I can tell. I know you can do it. Just do it.
Yeah.
And she did it. She kept going. We did a drop set. She did it all. Went and did dumbbells, shit. More presses, and then you know, delt raises. What do you normally do? All right, pick the weight you normally do. 30 reps. You know what I mean? Because people will pick, you know, 10 reps. Like, yeah. No, just keep going. Just keep going. And she did it.
Yeah.
Matter, she probably did like 40. Because we was in there going crazy.
She didn't care. She was just
yeah,
down.
And that's how it is. Like, our rule is whoever starts sets the bar. And everybody else got to try to beat it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I'm like, you motherfucker. 40 reps. All right, fuck it. I get it. You know, you get excited, though.
Yeah, it's fun. So, push each other.
Yeah.
I think it's cool.
That's how you elevate your games.
Yeah. Training with like-minded people.
Right, right.
That's not what we're all about.
But she is a beast. Like, there's nothing bad I can say about her.
Yeah. She seems great. I think it's cool that, like, bodybuilders or, like, more physique-oriented people, such as yourself, and you've probably been doing it for a while, but underground, are trained like powerlifters or use a lot of barbells. Like you said, you do tons of presses. Yeah, I've seen your videos. You're benching forever. You're deadlifting forever.
Yeah.
You know, I think in the 90s, it kind of got weird. Everyone kind of hopped to machines.
Right.
And that's why, like, Ronnie was so popular because he was, like, the best, and he's still, like, squatting 800 pounds, this and that. Right, but everybody else was kind of dicking around with machines.
Yeah.
Not that machines aren't bad. I love machines.
They work for bodybuilding. Yeah. Like, I'm going to tell you this. Like, I'm not the biggest squatter by any means, but I squat a lot.
Right.
But I got a better pump ever in my life from one day I was tired and feel like training, and I did this little pin loaded leg press.
Yeah.
I was just doing reps of 30 and I could barely walk out.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Biggest pump.
Now, we're a big fan of all machines, a hammer strength or leg press or a leg curl.
Yeah.
It's all great stuff. It's just the fact that, like, you probably couldn't only do that.
Right.
You know, people are too single minded, but you get a mix of both. You start growing.
I watch this bodybuilder I'm cool with, and he has probably the best physique on the Olympia stage, and he's not Phil Heath. And this dude's legs are phenomenal.
Yeah.
I watched him train legs one day. I'm thinking he's warming up, and that was the workout.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So bodybuilding, especially on that level, is an art, and you don't have to.
Yeah, kill yourself.
Right, and I get it. It is what it is. But I just, me personally, and I say it all the time in my videos, I'm training to be strong, like,
right.
Fuck shit up.
Yeah, that's cool.
So, you know.
You do have to fit, you know, what's going to fit your personality is a real key element to it. But on that same point, you know, the guys that train a little slower and they train a little bit more methodical and they train to, like, really build and shape the muscle,
right.
Those guys are strong too.
It's just
a little different for them. It might take them a little bit of time for them to kind of perfect their one rep max, but a lot of times those guys can move some big weight too.
Right, yeah.
So even though they can use lightweight to get those pumps, I mean, I've seen Kai Greene doing, you know, sets with 455 on incline.
Yeah, he goes nuts.
You know, I mean, that he's not it's not earth-shattering like some of the power lifters might do, like 600 on an incline or something. Right. But I'm sure if you wanted to push it for a few weeks,
all that muscle has got to translate into strength.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen guys that I trained with, and I'm like, that's it. And then, but I've seen them in other, you know, situations repping six plates, squats.
Yeah.
Like,
you run into the M-Town monsters here and there? You run into those guys?
They come by the gym.
Yeah, Metroplex.
Those guys are pretty cool. They get after it pretty good.
Yeah, Leroy goes
They go pretty heavy.
Yeah. I mean,
they might not be able to keep up with your style of training.
Now, we train kind of similar.
Yeah, yeah.
They only bench.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's true. Yeah, they don't. So, they're not squatting and deadlifting and stuff, huh? So.
Yeah.
Leroy put up a 6.61,
he's
right?
Strong.
Yeah, 6.61, and he gave a hell of a run at 7.05.
He's fucking strong, dude.
Yeah. Very strong.
I seen one video, he's like, I'm breaking CT record, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, tested meat and break his record.
Yeah, right.
I don't care either way. But
yeah.
Just so happened that CT's meat was attested.
Right.
So it's different.
It is different.
So...
yeah, it's part of everything.
People get excited and they call out the wrong people, I think, sometimes. Yeah, there was a power lifter years ago that started kind of talking about Ed Cohn. It's like, no, hold on, man. You can't say anything about Ed Cohn until you get closer.
He's 198 pounds and deadlifted 900.
Yeah, yeah. You get a little closer to his records, then maybe you can start to say, I really want to be able to beat his record one day.
Well, Ed Cohn.
Be a little bit more humble about it.
Was his weight?
around the same? Was he under 200 pounds as well?
No, no. Actually, you know, at the time he was similar body weight.
Okay. Yeah, like Ed Cohn never lost a head-to-head competition in his entire life.
And the competitive format was different then, too. Right. Because you could follow yourself then. It was more like Olympic lifting and powerlifting is now. So
less resting.
Yeah, yeah.
All the rules and everything made it harder than it is now. But
I feel like guys back it was.
You got to be careful, though. If you're going to call out a legend, then you better be on your way to being one yourself. You know what I mean?
Just don't.
Don't.
If you beat it, humbly.
Yeah, but even still, there's no need to call it out. Just beat it. Nah, if you can beat it, shut up and beat it.
Right, right. Because you still got to respect that guy. Like, you know, things are more advanced now.
Yeah.
You have a better chance now.
Yeah, you should.
Right. I think people I think part of that is they just get excited. You know, Leroy is probably excited. Yeah, he's all hyped up about his strength, so he's probably pumped. You know,
the internet too, right? The internet's. Yeah. I mean, when we think about it, it's new.
But then, I'm like, it is what it is. You look at CT in his prime, and you look at him in his prime.
Yeah.
CT looked like a fucking monster.
He looked like a tank.
Exactly.
Yeah, he was built like
that's more impressive to me. Yeah. You know, overall, you know what I'm saying?
He's built like those 70s strongmen. You know, like just huge.
They look good.
Yeah, just huge.
CT's arms still look crazy.
Yeah, I haven't got to meet him in person, but Mark told me he ran into him in Vegas, and he's like, damn, his arms were huge.
Yeah, he was just all arms. He was like, holy shit, man.
And I love that people say, oh, he's synthol. I'm like, he's veiny everywhere when he's training. Like, you don't get
He doesn't
do synthol, but I'm just saying, CT was obsessed with arms. So it is what it is.
So we got him.
He's a strict curl champion. Still his record. Well, they don't really strict curl anymore, but.
Yeah, I saw some random strict curl going on at the Fit Expo. It might have been with like a strongman or something, but they had it set up. I don't know what they're doing.
One of his ambitions is to bring that back.
Yeah, it'd be cool.
Yeah, it's cool.
I'm in for all of it. Like overhead kind of used to be in the weird lifts. Bring it back.
Overhead is a staple.
Yeah, it's hard.
Like, I have a program out called Mastering the Basics, the Foundation. And is running, like sprinting, squats, deadlifts, bench press, overhead press, pull-ups.
Yeah.
And then there's a whole
How jack can you get just off those? Yeah, that's all you need.
That would be all you need.
Yeah.
And that's the foundation for any sport.
Right. Yeah, very true. Very true.
To have a structurally sound and athletic body.
Yeah.
You know.
When are you doing overhead, Smelly?
Never.
He can't put his arms over his head.
Sort of. I can figure him out. I can move a little bit away.
I'd be kind of proud of mine, but then me and Robert Overs be hanging out.
Yeah,
yeah. Guy's a monster.
Like, no, never mind.
Yeah, with 400 or 500
straight.
Yeah, he's a freak.
So
he's a beast. Some of the CrossFit guys are pretty. Like some of the guys that we know locally.
Are
putting 375 and shit over their head. You know what I mean?
No, push. No, push. But they're 100-pound guy or 180-pound guys.
Yeah.
See, I'm strict.
Yeah.
I want to see strict everything.
What about Donovan McNabb? He was like doing CrossFit and he might have like push press, but it was like 275. Yeah. I was like, man, you're old, you're beat up. That's pretty good.
How old is he? He's
not know. Maybe not that. Yeah, you retired a little early.
Early 30s.
He's just been through it.
Right.
How much can you do on the strict press?
I think my best is like 245 or two or three or something like that.
Yeah, strong.
I don't know what my one rep is. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's hard.
See, when I have a hard time with that one rep max because I never go for one. I always, even if I hit one, I go for another one.
Yeah.
And I'm always better in my second rep. I know that's what's going to be difficult for me with powerlifting as well.
Yeah.
My first rep, you look at all my lifting videos, my first rep is kind of shitty, but the second rep, I got it.
Find your groove.
So, but I'm always trying to like get a lot of work done. So if I struggle for that two, I'm like, all right, I'm going to come down a little bit and get some more reps, you know.
Yeah.
It's just a habit of mine. Training,
it's a sign of being homosexual, Mike. That's pretty much what it boils down to.
McNabb is 38, so.
Oh, is he? Okay.
Oh, that ain't too bad.
It's not too bad, though.
Old as Mark Smelly Bell.
Yeah, over the hill.
Yeah.
But Mark can't press anything over his head.
No.
No, you did like two something when we were messing around. You did it for like a week, and then you stopped. You already quit.
It just hurts.
Yeah, strong men are nuts. Even some of those.
If you got a strong bench, you got a strong overhead.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. Some of those
I just need to work on it for
Olympic
a while.
And weightlifters can go nuts, too. Yeah.
Like I can't really incline either. I mean, I kind of can. But.
Yeah, incline's hard if you don't do it because the balance is so different.
Incline is a difficult lift for me.
Yeah.
I'm good for a couple reps of 405. Big Rob reps that shit, bro.
Yeah, he's
Rob
a big dude,
a
too.
Yeah. Rob is strong, bro. Yeah. He's kind of strong.
He wants to do any powerlifting or anything?
He wanted to do a bench press meet.
Yeah, be sick.
He's so tall. He used to play pro baseball.
Oh, dang.
And popped his hamstring.
Oh, shit.
So he had problems with his knees.
Yeah,
so
squatting gets a little weird.
He's squatting now. But Liz Frill, she helped him out with his squats.
Yeah.
He's back doing it now. But he has problems with his squats sometimes. He's a tall fucking dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's just big. Yeah.
You were talking about opening up your own facility coming up?
Yeah. So CT, you know, we always call ourselves the Iron Addicts, and everybody call them Iron Addicts. And CT's opening the first one. And in Signal Hill, California. I went by there the other day. It's pretty dope.
Is that around L.A.?
Yeah, it's LA close area. To Long Beach.
Okay.
And his is old school, like all old school equipment.
Right.
Like, that's what he wanted. You know, dope. Nautilus equipment. And
yeah. Nice.
Pig iron. And it's his vibe. You know what I mean?
Got so, that old school, what is it, pullover machine?
Yeah, that all shit's that, the man. Best. So it's cool.
Yeah.
So mine will be a little more modern. You know, and but it'll be an Iron Addicts gym as well.
Right. They kind of franchise together.
Yeah, because, cool. You know, that's like pops, like that's family. And one thing, like, well, a lot of people don't understand, they don't know our relationship, like me, Rob, and CT. Like, we all started together at Metroflex, and, you know, we all struggled together, was broke together.
Yeah.
You know,
slept together. Had some good times, bad times.
Everybody looks at YouTube or the internet in general, and they think it's like TV. Like, oh, that's just fake. That's for the camera.
I've had people that tried to infiltrate our circle with shadiness, and we boot them out.
Yeah.
And then he's like, you just using CT anyway. I'm like,
yeah.
Now, fuck you.
Yeah.
Right, you don't know our relationship.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. You've been friends for a while.
Yeah. It's a real relationship. I say fuck all this industry for my real loved ones. You know what I mean?
Right.
So none of this being like... If my loyalty and honor ain't intact with my loved ones, then it's not worth it.
Right.
It won't be fun. But it's fun now because we're all doing well and we're still tight.
Yeah,
that's
we
cool.
used to go through it, man. Like, so when I first got to the gym and me and CT first, you know, got cool, you know, his health was real bad at the time. And he working his ass off, training people. And I was, you know, he'd be like limping and just, you know, he had like, he has artificial valves in his heart.
Right.
You know, it's like powerlifting destroyed him.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He was 300 plus pounds.
Yeah, carrying around that amount of weight.
He ate like, you know, whatever.
Right.
That heavy weight, all that pressure, you know, then it busted his heart. So he got, if you're close to him, you can hear it ticking.
Oh, man.
And the more he works out, it's ticking harder.
That's you know what I mean?
But so I used to beg him, like, stay home, please.
Yeah, chill.
Me and Rob are training your people. They keep paying you. Don't worry. Like, but we got it. You know what I mean? And, you know, his pride wouldn't let him. Like, he would still be in there in pain. And I would be mad at his clients. I'm like, why the fuck are you coming in? You see he's not.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, y'all don't care? That's another thing. Like, with clients, they don't be caring about your health or nothing.
It's
wow. Like, I broke my foot one time. I'm like, I have to come in later because I'm moving slow. But I had this. We scheduled this 2 weeks ago. I'm like... Yeah, because my foot is broke.
I cannot walk.
Right. I shouldn't have been there. You know what I mean? But
something happened between then and now.
Right. Yeah. I had broke my foot. Like, I keep saying it. But anyway, so it's real love with CT. So one thing I always wanted to do was, and I, you know, he reminded me of my dad or grandfather or whatever. So, and my dad's retired. My grandfather, he passed away, but he retired. He had a good life. So I hate to see an older guy like that. Like, working still.
Yeah, hustling.
And not, you know, not feeling good. So, you know, I wanted him to be, you know, now he's not in that situation, but, like, he's fucking rich now. But, you know, back then I was like, he used to fucking kill me. And I was like, what can I do? What can we do to help? And so anyway, one thing that I want to see is all his dreams get fulfilled because he gave 30 plus years of his life to the iron sport, whether it be powerlifting or bodybuilding. And you don't get, back then they didn't get nothing. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
It destroyed his health. But now he's, you know, things are well for him. So I want to help spread the word with like his Iron Addicts brand. And so that's why I'm taking it upon myself to open another one and help him get, you know, franchise it out to more places. There's people in other countries that want to open them.
That's cool.
So, but once they're up and running, people will be like, okay, yeah, we're going to hop on that.
Where are you looking to open yours?
In Arizona.
Okay, sweet.
I just got a house in Arizona. And
heck yeah.
That's where my kids live, so that's home base for now.
Sweet, man.
You know, so haven't even been in my house a week straight yet.
Yeah, you told us. No. Just traveling, going nuts.
But it is what it is. But, yeah, the gym will be in Arizona.
Sweet.
Arizona got a thriving fitness market.
Yeah, you know what I mean? That's cool.
Yeah,
I think fitness in general is just going nuts, you know.
Yeah.
So you get a sunny place or you get, like, an active
it's
place.
Perfect. Yeah. People don't want to wear clothes. So.
Yeah. They want to look good.
Exactly.
Yeah, Wisconsin's still going to be fat and gross.
That's true.
And hairy.
Yeah.
Unjacked or tan.
Where can people reach you? What's your websites and stuff?
MikeRasheed.com, real simple. Instagram at MikeRasheed, real simple. Twitter at MikeRasheed. YouTube/MikeRasheed.
So complicated.
So difficult.
So hard to find
it's
you
like
on the
calculus.
All right, my man. Well, it was awesome having you on the show. We appreciate it.
Thank you. I want to say it is definitely an honor and a privilege for me. I look up to you.
Well, because you are shorter than me.
Fuck your elbow. Like, now I'm not saying it because it's you and it's, you're here. But there's a lot of shit. It's crazy, man. Like, life
fuck
is
your deep. Elbow made you cry.
Life is deep.
That's what you're going to say.
It did.
It made you cry.
That's what I was going to say, but it did.
It made you cry.
Nah, but you and, like, Dana Lynn Bailey, right? Like, when I saw the fuck your elbow, like, you know, I saw the movie, like, years ago. But the fuck your elbow, I was like, that's a man right there. Like, we have very similar beliefs and views. Like I said, when I broke my foot back, I was doing a CrossFit football certification. Broke my foot, still finished the cert.
Fuck John Wellborn. it was John Wellborn.
Yeah.
Broke your foot off.
Yeah. And I fucking destroyed everybody. They looked at me like, oh, this bodybuilder again.
Yeah.
I smoked everybody on everything. And still went to work, everything with a broke foot. Like, I don't give a fuck. You know what I mean? I'm a diehard person. But even Dana Lynn Bailey, like, both of y'all, like, before I met y'all, I was like, I'm connected to them because Dana Lynn Bailey, you know, I used to do some crazy shit with boxing. Like, my thing was always to do things that my competition ain't doing, like with training, right? She put up a video before I knew who she was or anything. I put up the same exact video doing the same thing, but with my weight. And it showed up in the same feed. That's how I seen it. She did like 20 reps of bench press of 135 and 20 reps of squats.
Yeah, that's the first video I ever saw of Dana,
and
too.
I did one.
Yeah.
It was like a long drop set of bench press, heavy, and then a drop set of squats, and then over, you know.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the fuck? And I ended up being cool with both of y'all. You know, that shit says a lot, man.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm very honored to be here, man. And you are super cool. Like, I love y'all. I love what y'all do. You know, and I feel like y'all are going to get a lot huger. You know what I'm saying? And I love the alliance. I just want to be linked with y'all. And
this is the last time we're going to hang out with you. We're going to be too big for you, Mike.
I know, but you
know. Sorry, man.
But nah, I really respect what y'all do and got a lot of love for y'all. So
yeah, stoked on the weekend, man. We got a lot of lifting and dicking around to do.
Right. He's more excited about the dicking part.
Yeah, I'm more excited about the lifting.
I'm so into the dicking part. Dicking.
So
what the BBC term "dicking around" come?
I don't know.
Probably
I didn't invent it. Why are you asking me?
Maybe.
It's kind of weird because it seemed like it's an old phrase. Like there was into
dicking around, boss.
The Greeks came.
Maybe they were dicking around too much.
Yeah, or not enough.
God damn. Not enough dicking around. That's my issue. Not enough dick to around.
True.
To go around.
Whatever.
Yeah, okay.
Multiply your hustle, multiply your muscle. I'm at Mark Smelly Bell on Instagram, and may all your shits be tapered.
You can find me at Silent Mike with 2 K's, and
I'm Jimmy D, STDV, everywhere that I would want you to find me. Follow the show on Instagram at Mark Bell's Powercast, on Twitter at STJimSack, Facebook.com/SuperTradingJim. Please visit iTunes and leave us a rating or review because that's a big deal. And thank you very much for listening.
Good shit, my man.
Cool.
That very good.
That was dope. Thank you. I got like
subscribe to Power Magazine at thepowermagazine.com. If you choose the digital edition, you can catch up on all the great back issues, take your training to the next level with Slingshot products at howmuchyoubench.net, and look for PSN products including NO Explode at bodybuilding.com. Mark Bell's Powercast is a production of supertraining.tv.